Today we're going to look at John chapter 5 and wrap up this sermon or this encounter with the leadership in the temple after Jesus has healed the man who has been sick, lame for 38 years. So today I'm going to start in chapter 5, verse 43. "You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So again, Jesus has had this encounter with the leaders in Jerusalem because he healed a man on the Sabbath, and his healing indicated that John wants us to see it as the fulfillment of the entry into the promised land. He is bringing true Sabbath rest. He is bringing the fulfillment of everything that Moses and Joshua were about, bringing the promised people into the promised land so that they could shine a light to the nations of a relationship and a covenant with God. And in this section of the encounter, Jesus is drawing attention to those things that bear witness about him. And it's key that he says, listen, I don't bear witness about myself. I don't represent myself. I don't defend myself. My cause is not my own. And then he goes on to draw attention to the various ways that others bear witness to Jesus, that others attest to who Jesus is. And it's worth noting those because he sort of piles them up. So the first one he mentions is John. And he says, I don't receive glory from people, but you were listening to John for a while. And if you really had continued to listen to him, you would have believed in me. He was one witness that you could have listened to. And then Jesus says that the second witness that is testifying to who Jesus is the deeds that the Father has given him to do. So these signs that he's done. And I think we could refer to the cleansing of the temple. I think we could refer here to this healing of a man on the Sabbath as a fulfillment of the Sabbath, as a bringing that man into wholeness, into God's presence. And he says, if you were to pay attention to that, it would testify that I am who I say I am. And of course, they don't listen. And then he goes on and says, and there's another witness, and that other witness is the Father. The Father himself bears witness about me. He agrees and through the Holy Spirit gives weight to my words. So it's not me that's bearing witness about myself, but it's the Father. And then finally, we have a fourth witness. So this is sort of a doubling of the biblical requirement, right? Let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. Jesus goes beyond that. He says the last witness is the scriptures themselves. It is they that bear witness about me. And this is a really important scripture for a lot of reasons. He says, guys, you just dig into the scriptures and you go into all these details because you think that it's in the scriptures that you have life. Jesus is rebuking what we might call Bible-olatry, or idolatry of the Bible. And it might be startling for us to think that idolatry of the Bible is possible, but it is. Jesus is saying the Bible itself is like the signs that I'm doing. The signs are meant to point to me, not an end in themselves. and you refuse to look at me, the end of the signs. The scriptures point to me, and you refuse to come to me that you might find life. So an idol is anything that we try to find life in that is not God. The scriptures are clearly a gift by God and His Holy Spirit, but they are not Him. And Jesus says, I am the word of the Father, upon which the word printed is based, and you refuse to come to me. So they tap their meaning. They find life in the wrong place. And it's important for us to remember that you can be so obsessed with the Bible and what you think it gives you that you don't come to the source of the Bible. And I want to draw our attention to this. He says, you refuse to come to me that you might have life. I think this brings us back to the beginning of this whole encounter when he went to the man who was lame for 38 years and said, do you want to be whole? As that story unfolded and the man seemed to refuse or seemed to not become a disciple of Jesus, I think it's an indication that he didn't want to be whole, that maybe he was more worried about what the leaders in the temple thought of him than he was about what God thought of him. And Jesus here indicts this crowd of leaders with a charge. So they've sort of accused him, and now he's turned the tables. The accused is now the judge, and he's bringing judgment against them. And he says, you guys do not choose. You do not want to come to me to have life. You do not want to be whole. You want something else. And this is what he brings up as the sort of case closed point against them. He says that their problem is that they want praise from people. Jesus says, I did not come into this world hoping to build a reputation for myself. I did not come into this world hoping to get people's praise. I came into this world to do my Father's will and to lay down my life for those that God sent me to lay down my life for. But Jesus says, your problem is you want praise from people. You want to be famous in certain people's eyes. You want a reputation. And that is what's killing you. That is what's keeping you in the dark. That is what's keeping you sick. They accept praise from other people, and that keeps them from being able to receive God's praise, to receive God's well done. And he says, and not only this, but you accept people who come in their own name, promoting their own reputation and their own name. And because you accept those people, again, that blocks you from being able to accept the praise that comes from God alone. I would compare this to in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, a reputation, or anything that you put your heart into that can be taken away from you. Or when he says, don't pray in order for people to think what a great spiritual guy you are. Rather, pray to your Father who is in secret. So Jesus here, I think, sort of diagnoses the spiritual problem with the leadership in the temple. And at the bottom, he says, it is that they are more interested in their reputations in other people's eyes than they are in their reputation in God's eyes. If they really cared about that, they would come to Jesus so that he could make them whole, so that he could give them life, so that he could call them away from and set them free from those things that really make them sick and really make them not enter into God's rest. So may we be those who really want to find Jesus in the scriptures, and who, when we want to find Jesus, we don't want to find people's praise, people's admiration, pleasing people. But what we really want is to hear God's heart and God's view of us so that he can lead us into the wholeness and life that he intends to lead us into. Amen.